what I was trying to do with this paper was kind of characterise the state of the nation, to put it grandly. You know, what are the current trends, both in terms of absolute levels of walking, cycling and driving to work, and then also how that differs with inequality.
And it's quite a big sample, isn't it?
It's massive. Well, it's everyone. It's all adult commuters between the ages of 16 and 74.
So just give us the headline figures. What did the census tell us?
Well, you can cast it as good news or bad news. Britain is still extremely car dominated, so more than three quarters, well, England and Wales, so it was England and Wales census data only, but I mean, it's true of all of Britain, is very car dominated, so three quarters plus of people using cars as their main mode of getting to work. So that's the bad news. The good news is that for the first time in decades, the trends are at least looking a bit more positive. So previously, from the 70s onwards, we've seen car use steadily increasing, walking, cycling and public transport all decreasing. Whereas car use now has levelled off, possibly slightly, well, is slightly starting or has slightly declined in England. Whether that will continue, we don't know. Whereas walking, cycling have stopped falling and public transport gone up a bit. So at least it's no longer going in the wrong direction. I think that's seen quite clearly in London. I mean, part of the reason why the trends have got better is that London has got quite a bit better in terms of having a marked decline in car use, increase in public transport and cycling. And that partly has been this kind of interventionist policy. So I think the congestion charge is the single largest thing, but also other things trying to actively steer. Cycling has almost doubled to the point where London's now the highest cycling region. It used to be east of England, so where Cambridge and places are, but now London is the highest cycling region of the UK, mostly inner London, it has to be said. Still kind of tinkering at the seams in the sense that it is still true that most people use their cars and it's still only just under 5% of people who commute by bicycle, so it's still small in absolute terms.
How do you commute?
Bicycle. This is classic researcher finding their interest in something personally, then thinking maybe I can research it.
And where do you commute in from?
From Dulwich.
Dulwich, how far's that?
It's about 45 minutes.
And is it safe? So there's absolutely no way you would get me on a bike in this area here. So we're standing almost as central as you can get in central London. There's buses, there's taxis, traffic's flowing in both directions. There's absolutely no way you'd get me on a bike in this kind of traffic.
Yeah, well, I think that's certainly the most common thing people say. I think there's really interesting things. One thing, without wanting to say that you're not telling the truth, I think people partly say that because it's socially acceptable. You know, to say I don't cycle because I'm a bit lazy and can't be bothered. Which is also true that in London people do feel unsafe. It's hard. I mean, it's this thing of a bit of both. It would be very good if the roads are safer. The roads are dangerous in general. They, you know, kill more people under the age of 50 than kind of anything else. So roads should be safe, and that's partly because there's too many cars. At the same time, even when you're quite young, the health benefits of cycling are bigger than the risks. It's just that the risks are more visible to you because you can easily remember the last time you saw Evening Standard covering a cycling death, whereas you don't know about the person who didn't get depression because they were doing lots of physical activity or had a heart attack averted down the line. But I agree that the kind of experience of it is that you feel exposed to danger, and it's kind of, there's a narrative about cycling being dangerous which reinforces that.
But you talked about other cities where cycling is quite popular, like the university cities, presumably Oxford and Cambridge are top of the league.
Oxford and Cambridge top of the league, Hackney, the London Borough now third. One of the particularly interesting things about these high cycling places, from my point of view, because I'm also interested in inequalities, is it's particularly in the high cycling places that you see rich people cycling more than poorer people. In general, there's not much of a socioeconomic difference, but across the board, you see a small tendency for it to become rich people who are taking up cycling more, as far as anyone is, and that's particularly marked in these high cycling places. So that's like Hackney and Oxford and Cambridge. So there's also, in my mind, this idea that once cycling becomes a bit normative, it's particularly maybe the time for poor professionals who want to exercise on the way to work, or maybe people who can live near enough the centre of Cambridge to be a commuting distance, not kind of out in the sticks because that's where they could afford to buy a house.
Become trendy to be seen on the cycle.
So it's partly about trendiness maybe, and also partly about, I think, particularly in Oxford and Cambridge, where you live. So house prices affecting where people can afford to live, and that's meaning if you're central enough to be a cyclable distance. But I think it's again this thing of you can cast it in both positive and negative lights. There are these places where cycling has gone up and or is high, but then it seems to be, particularly in those places, it's the rich people who cycle more, so maybe good for health, but less good for health inequalities. And whereas the census data at the moment is only released at area level, so you don't know about people's own income or education, you can match them to their local area deprivation. So there's this measure called the Index of Multiple Deprivation, which measures deprivation across a range of things, crime, income, education, employment. So you look at whether people in more deprived areas commute differently to people in less deprived areas, more affluent areas. So I kind of looked at that, both at the trend, both at the pattern now, but also the trend over time, and striking differences. So the rich commute more by car. So the rich, you know, in terms
surprise,
of creating,
surprise.
Surprise, surprise, in terms of creating the social problems that come with car use. But then it's got more equal over time. So the group which has shown the larger increase in car use has been the poorer groups. And simultaneously, the rich walk less and take public transport less, but relatively they're increasing faster than the poorer groups. So it's some sense of convergence.